Hey everyone, welcome to episode 55 of Siths and Giggles. I am your host Casey, and I am joined by Krista. How you doing, Krista?
Not too bad, Casey. Not too bad yourself?
I'm doing pretty good. Before we get started with tonight's episode, I wanted to mention that I was a guest on a podcast called Wookiee Radio, and their episode, Siths and Wookiees Giggles, came out yesterday. So they are on iTunes. So go ahead and check out Wookiee Radio if you want to hear me talk with other people. So for this episode, we figured since the last weekend was Hayden Christensen's birthday, that we could spend this one talking about Anakin and all that is good, bad, and ugly about him, because there is so much to, like, get through with him.
But one thing is certain. He hates sand.
He does hate sand. I think...
Just before we go any further, can you see my cat? My one cat aggressively cleaning himself over my shoulder.
Yes. Is that Rick?
That's Rick. That's the one that hid when you came over.
Yeah. He looks happy.
Him in all of his glory. He is. This is where he is all the time. He has to be next to me.
Does he?
When I record at the table, usually he sits there and screams. I'd be curious if it ever got picked up by the mic.
I've never heard it, loud. So... So I think with Anakin and sand, I think my favorite meme to come out of The Rise of Skywalker was just after Rey buries the lightsabers, you see, like, ghost Anakin, and it's like Attack of the Clones Anakin, and he's like, take it out. And Rey's like, what? And he's like, the sand. Take it out of the damn sand.
Do you, like, I just want to say, like, in my quest of, like, looking, you know, just online for good things to talk about on Anakin. Oh, boy. Let me just say I went down a dark rabbit hole with memes. There are some absolutely... fantastic memes. Like, there's one of him when he's telling Padme about, you know, after he slaughtered all the Tusken Raiders, which I'm sure we will talk about, because I think I've told you that's, like, one of my all-time favorite sequences in Star Wars, like, music and everything all-encompassing. Is when he's sitting there and he's like, I killed them all, not just the men, but the women and children, too. And it's just Padme with, like, it's a screen cap of her, like, kind of taken aback. Her eyes are all wide. They timed it perfectly, and she's like, weird flex, but okay.
I think my favorite Anakin meme in general is the one, there's one where, like, it's Padme, Anakin, and Obi-Wan at the beginning of Attack of the Clones. And Padme's, like, she's giving them, like, a riddle. And she's like, if you have... three chairs and six children. What do you do? And, like, Obi-Wan is like, he's like, get three chairs. And then, like, Anakin's like, kill three children.
I just saw another one. It's that same scene of, you know, Rey at the end of Rise of Skywalker. And it's the lady asking Rey who. And Rey, she's like, Rey Skywalker. And then it cuts to Anakin yelling liar on Mustafar. Which, you know, for all how I feel about, you know, her being Rey Skywalker aside, it's hysterical. It really is kind of funny to see.
He's probably the most memeable character in all of Star Wars. No, you don't think so?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Yes, I agree with that. Yes. I was thinking. I had to think for a moment.
I mean, like, other characters have quality memes, but, like, if you combine, like, quality and quantity, like, There's a lot.
Oh my God. I just saw one and it's the little youngling boy and he's like, Master Skywalker, there are too many of them. What are we going to do? And then it's just Anakin going, did you just say master? And then it cuts to written and directed by George Lucas. That's incredible. Oh, I love it. So there's another meme that I just saw.
Okay.
Episode's just gonna be us talking about Anakin Skywalker. And it's Anakin Skywalker hates sand, vows to save Padme from dying. Padme falls. Sand actually saves Padme from dying. And then it's a clip of Vader, and it's visible confusion. If there was no sand, she definitely would have died when she fell out of that shit, that transport. Without the sand.
That is true.
Probably.
Here's one. It's just Anakin, and it says, "Can't get denied, but can't get denied the rank of master by the council if there is no council."
There is no count. Oh, God.
Here's one of. Okay, so it's Anakin, and it's Palpatine, and Palpatine's like, he's working behind the counter of the McDonald's, and
Okay.
Anakin's like, "What exactly is the Anakin special?" And Palpatine's like, "That's an extra crispy chicken with one wing and no legs."
Oh, that's fantastic. I saw another one. Here's a good one. And it's from the quote where he's like, you underestimate my power. It's you underestimate my manipulativeness.
Oh, this one's terrible. Okay. It's Anakin and Padme and
Oh.
Mustafar. And are we looking at the same one? It's Anakin and Padme on Mustafar. And Padme's like, "Anakin, you're breaking my heart." And then Anakin's like, "Don't be silly, Padme." And then he starts doing the force choke. And he's like, "It's pronounced neck."
Oh no, not that one.
Not
The
that
one I'm
one.
looking at, have you ever watched why can't I think of the name of the show? Why can't I think of the name of the show? Oh my God, I can't think of the name of the show. That's gonna bother me a lot.
Text it to me and I'll tell you the name of the show.
I don't know if you'll know the name of the show, but I'm texting it to you right now,
Okay.
so have no fear.
Here's another one of Padme saying, "Anakin, I don't know you anymore." And then it's Anakin with like the red 3PO arm, and he's like, "You probably don't recognize me with because of my red arm." Oh my God. Okay, now this episode really is just going to be Anakin and memes. It's Anakin and Padme on the picnic in Attack of the Clones. And he's like, "Padme, did you pack a witch for lunch?" And she's like, "A sandwich?" And then it's him on Mustafar with the yellow eyes saying, "I don't like sand."
Don't. All right, here we go. I'm sending it to you now.
Okay.
Share messages.
I'll let you
Like
know it.
I know the name of the show and it's a popular meme that's been done, but I can't for the life of me think of the name of the show, but I freaking love it.
Oh, okay. I don't know the name of the show. But yeah. It's
Eric
the.
Andre show.
Okay.
The Eric Andre show. So it's the scene of the Eric Andre show where, Eric Andre comes out and he shoots a gun and hits Hannibal Buress and kills Hannibal Buress. And then he turns and I forget specifically what he says, but it's like, why would blank do this? And on it, it's Eric Andre's Anakin Hannibal Buress is Padme, gunshots, Anakin turns. Why would Obi-Wan do this? I love it.
I never knew the source of that meme before.
Oh, that show's hysterical. I did just see the neck one right next to it. Incredible.
Oh, this one, Anakin Skywalker gets hotter as time goes on. And then it's Attack of the Clones Anakin, the beginning of Revenge of the Sith Anakin, and then the last one is Anakin on fire.
Incredible. Here's another one up high, and it's Obi-Wan having the ground, high ground. Then it cuts to Anakin down low. And then the next one is him on fire. Too slow.
Okay, last one, then let's actually talk about Anakin. It's Anakin and Palpatine at the opera. And Anakin says, "Is it possible to learn this power?" And Palpatine says, "Only a Jedi master can learn this power." And then Anakin's like, "Shit." And then it cuts to written and directed by George Lucas.
Oh, God.
So, of all the Skywalker men, like Anakin is.
He's my favorite.
He's your favorite? I
He's
think
my
Luke is still
favorite.
my favorite. I was going to say he's like the most silly bastard of all of them.
I think original, for me, original Luke is very much on the same level of Anakin as like in regards to like the cheesiness and the whininess, in my opinion. I like both characters, do not get me wrong. Like, don't take me that as saying I dislike either of them, because I don't. But I don't know. I just have more of a soft spot for Anakin. I think that's perhaps because I did grow up during the prequel era. I'm sure that plays a part.
That's probably part of it. I think Luke's whininess is definitely on par with Anakin's until Return of the Jedi, and then like he gets all serious.
Yeah, I will agree with that.
I don't know, Anakin, like I mean, I think you can justify the whininess of Anakin. He's had a hard life. He's had a very hard life.
Yeah. But at the same time, like, just to kind of play devil's advocate in this in particular instance, you could also argue as to why, because he had a hard life, he shouldn't be whiny.
I guess, I don't know, I could understand how, like, if you grow up and you're told you're the chosen one, and then, like, you feel like you're being held back, I can see how you could have that whiny
Okay.
reaction. I think that's perfect. I think that's a perfect reaction for, like, a teenager to have. I think.
Okay, yeah. No, I see where you're coming from. I think that makes a lot more sense.
And I know,
Jesus,
like,
right?
you know this, like, if you watch, and, like, that whininess is, like, perfect for his, like, Attack of the Clones era. Like, if you watch the Clone Wars cartoon, like, he's not like that at all. Like, the whininess kind of
No,
goes
he's
away.
not. And I like I understand like part of that's, obviously the writing, because I don't pin that all on Hayden Christensen. But it bothers me because it's inconsistent, and I hate the fact that it's like, oh, well, it came out, way after it. So yeah, it is going to be inconsistent. Like, they're not going to be able to fit it in perfectly. But like, one of the things that my favorite things about Anakin is his relationship with Ahsoka. And I hate that in the movies, it is never even mentioned that he had a Padawan. Like, never even mentioned. And I think that's, like, some of my favorite, you know, interactions and stuff we've seen with Anakin. His character has been in the Clone Wars with Ahsoka.
Oh, no, totally agreed. And that's why, like, Ahsoka is one of my favorite Star Wars characters. And I think that she was, like, probably the perfect companion to give to Anakin for that time period. And I think that, like...
Oh, I agree 100%.
It certainly matured him in a lot of ways. And I think people... We focus so much on his whininess that we forget that he's also terrible at talking to women.
It's true.
Like, him hitting on Padme is worse than like any of the whining that we've experienced from him.
So painful. I just, like, I remember reading an article somewhere, I think that Natalie Portman did, when she just, like, talked about, like, that one scene. I think you know which you probably can immediately picture. Like, it's horrible. It's just so cringeworthy. Where he's, like, professing his undying love for her.
In front of the fireplace.
In front of the fireplace. I remember she, in the interview, was talking about how uncomfortable her costume was for that scene. Like, how just uncomfortable she was and how hot it was. And then she just remembers, she's like, I felt as uncomfortable as, like, my character probably felt hearing all that. She was like, yeah, he's just, I think she said, like, they did not make Anakin, you know, a smooth talker by any means. He thinks cutting a pear is, like, floating a pear from one person's plate to his plate to cut it, and then to float it back. Hold it in air for her to stab it is, like, flirting in his mind.
That's a weird flex.
That's such a weird flex. That's literally from the meme of Padme going weird flex, but okay.
It's not as weird a flex as, like, slaughtering a village of Tusken Raiders and then telling the girl that you love about it.
Yeah, but... I agree, but I still feel like the whole pear thing is a weird flex.
I know, okay, we're not talking about Padme, we're talking about Anakin, but I think that, like, that's...
We'll have an episode about Padme.
That scene is actually, I think that's, like, the lowest point in Padme's character for me.
Yes.
If I can change one thing about the prequels, I would not have had Anakin tell Padme about the village, because, like, I don't like that she marries him after that.
I don't like that she's, like, complicit about it and doesn't tell anyone. Like, I feel like what we know of her character, she would have told Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
Purely out of the fact that she was worried for Anakin, she would have told Obi-Wan.
What if instead of telling Obi-Wan, she told Palpatine? And Palpatine's like, I'll take care of it.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. That's wild. But at the same
time...
Because,
like, if you think about it, she's a senator. So, like, maybe she would tell the Chancellor instead of telling, like, the other Jedi.
But in season two, was she... At the end of episode two, I mean... Was she still on relatively good terms with Palpatine? I know by the time we get to episode three, it's clear, at least in my opinion, that she does not agree or with what he's doing, what policies he's trying to enact.
You know, after Palpatine convinces her to go into hiding on Naboo, I don't think we ever got another Padme Palpatine scene. I know there's a deleted scene from Revenge of the Sith, and I'm sure they had scenes in the Clone Wars, but like on film, I don't think we ever got another scene between them.
I mean, I don't know. I feel like even when he was sending her away, I feel like it was very clear, like, that she, and this could just be all my headcanon, which it very well might be. I could be perceiving this totally wrong. But don't, in my opinion, it almost seemed like at that point she started to realize something super fishy is going on. And that's when she started to really become suspicious. And I think that's when she started to question Palpatine more.
Well, I think she was suspicious of, like, the power grab. I don't think it ever, I don't think she ever figured out that he was the Sith Lord. But I think that she definitely, like...
Oh, I agree with that. I mean, I think as a politician and as someone that, you know, I feel like for her to go and tell him that Anakin slaughtered an entire village of Tusken Raiders, I feel like she would have to really respect him and really hold him in high regards. And I feel like that was not the case.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure she ever did, really. I think she kind of knew what was up as soon as he became chancellor. I think maybe she kind of felt that maybe she was manipulated into, like, calling
She's
for
the... She's too smart to not realize this kind of stuff.
Yeah. And, like, the impression that I got from reading Queen Shadow by E.K. Johnston was that she thinks he's kind of like a creepy old man by that
point. Yes. Fantastic. I still have not read Queen's Shadow. I can't wait to actually get into it, though.
I'm burning through the books. I'm almost caught up now. I'm almost done with the Rise of Skywalker novelization.
Well, reading during my lunch hours was kind of my thing. And right now, since the coronavirus, and the hours I'm working has changed. I'm now working 9 to 5 instead of 8 to 5, but I'm losing my hour lunch break, which I'm totally fine with because I get to come in an hour later. Like, if I could do this regularly, I would. But it's really, like, prevented me from reading at all.
Like, how do you eat? Like, do you eat during the day?
Yeah, we just eat at our desk.
Okay.
Yeah.
That would be
none of us are complaining.
That, I mean, okay. On one hand, I want to say that that would be miserable for me, but like on the other hand, I guess now that like I'm part of management, that's what I do anyway.
Yeah.
So like, I guess it wouldn't be that. That's actually my life too now. So I can get how.
Yeah, I don't know. So. Cut down on my reading. It's really hampered, so yet to finish Phasma.
Remember that bet we had a long time ago?
Yeah, Casey, I knew I was going to lose that bet. I forget what the stakes were. Anyways.
If you had finished Phasma, I was going to read Queen's Peril before I read... The new Thrawn book, because they were coming out on the same day. But they're not even coming out on the same day anymore, so the bet's, like, null and void.
Yeah, I do remember you telling me that as well, so I was safe. But I was going to fail anyways.
Yeah.
I'll take it, though. I'm going to take it as a W.
You know, speaking of books, it's got me thinking, I don't think they've left any room for Anakin to ever have a book. Like, maybe if they wanted to do something between Phantom Menace and Attack of the Clones, they could. But, like, there's, like, no room for him to have a book now between, like, Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith.
No, not with Clone Wars.
Yeah, I think they pretty much completely filled up that time.
Yeah, they really did, because they're running right up to it with the final... episodes of Clone Wars.
Have you been watching those at all?
No, I haven't.
This last...
I plan on binging.
They started the final arc last week where Ahsoka's on Mandalore and, spoiler alert, she's about to face off with Maul. And oh, it's so exciting.
I'm pumped. I'm pumped.
But yeah, we don't have we are the only Anakin content I think we have between Phantom Menace and Attack of the Clones is the 5-issue comic that Charles Soule did called Obi-Wan and Anakin,
Which
which
I
was
don't think I read.
it's on Marvel Unlimited. It's really good
Marvel. Okay.
because you start to see like you get to see the doubts that Obi-Wan has as a master. You get to see like the first doubts that Anakin has as a Jedi, and then you get to see Palpatine like sinking his claws into Anakin for the first time. And the biggest revelation from that series is that Anakin and Obi-Wan almost left the Jedi Order together. Anakin was determined to leave, and Obi-Wan said that he had to keep his promise to Qui-Gon to train Anakin. And Yoda was like, "You know what that means?" And Obi-Wan's like, "Yeah, it means I have to leave the Jedi Order." So, like, that almost happened. I think you're muted. Are you talking?
Sorry, yeah, I was just saying that that's actually crazy to think about that. Because Anakin, being like, I have to leave the Jedi Order, isn't that surprising?
No, but he's probably
I feel
like
like that.
he's like 12 years old at this point in the comic. Like he's
Yeah.
like a young Padawan.
I still am not that surprised by it. Largely because I don't know if Anakin was ever fully gung-ho about the idea of being trained to be a Jedi in the first place.
I think he was totally gung-ho about the idea of being a Jedi. I don't think he ever accepted that that meant that he had to leave his Mon behind, like, as a
Agreed.
slave.
Yeah.
I probably.
I think he thought he was going to be more of a hero and didn't realize like what all it entails.
Yeah. It probably would have solved a lot of problems if he was allowed to like stay in contact with his mom. And like I understand why Jedi aren't allowed to have attachments. I understand why like they have to leave their families behind. But like it's a lot easier to do when you take them as a toddler versus taking them as a 10-year-old.
A 10-year-old who's very aware of the conditions that he's leaving his mother to live in.
Yeah.
Like someone who's very cognizant that, he was a slave. They were, his mother is a slave. She will continue to be a slave. And he's not there. In his mind, I'm sure he looks at it as a way to protect her and to help her. Like he's not going to be there to do that.
Yeah. I think his life may have been easier if he knew that, like, she had gotten out of slavery and married Kleeglars.
I agree. I think he wouldn't have that constant fear then that, yes, he had the nightmare about her dying, but he probably had those nightmares because he was constantly worried about like what was happening to her and probably wondering what happened to her.
I don't know how you solve the problem of his arrogance, though. I don't think anything was going to help that.
No, this was a kid who was good at everything he did. It's like my nephew. You don't solve that.
Is he
You
good
just
at
wait till
everything he
someone
does?
comes along and yes, you just wait until someone comes along that's better at it than he is and puts him in their place.
So, like, you're just waiting for someone to come along and, like, cut off his arms and legs and burn him alive.
No, please actually don't do that to my nephew. He's a good kid, but he does think he's God's gift to the earth.
Oh.
He does. He does.
How old is he?
17?
Ah, oh, so he's inching close to that Attack of the Clones era of his life.
Yes, he is.
I think.
So just give it a couple more years, and he'll be in his full Revenge of the Sith downward spiral. Oh God, and he's joining the military.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What's he doing?
He's going into the Air Force.
Okay, that's not too bad.
No, he's already like signed his contract. And it's just postponed until he graduates high school for him to actually report.
Yeah.
So.
I know someone in the Air Force right now, and it's, I will just say his Air Force experience is a lot different than my Army experience.
I would believe that.
Yeah, so, but hey, maybe he'll like, maybe they'll tag him to go in the Space Force and he could be a stormtrooper.
God, now I want nothing more for my nephew. No, he just wants to be a mechanic on the planes. He's got no real ambition beyond that. He wants to be a mechanic.
Right, what were we talking
Which
about
I
with?
mean, hey, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, there's not. There's not at all. Yeah, but Anakin's arrogance. Do you think that was like earned on his part?
I mean, I look at it in two ways. I can see where, not that it's necessarily warranted, but like it's explained in a way like, you have a small child who's 10. He is the only human that can race pod, do pod racing. Like, it's well established that he's apparently the only human that can do it. So you have, and he excels at it, and he wins a race where he gets to win his freedom from slavery. That's a big deal. That's gonna make you a cocky little shit, as we see later in Phantom Menace once he gets in the pilot of the fighter and accidentally finds his way off into space. He's told he has the mo more midichlorians than the most powerful Jedi that currently exists, Yoda. He's then repeatedly told that he's the chosen one. So, like, him developing that sense of arrogancy is not at all surprising, in my opinion. When you have, when all of the evidence leads to either you, A, being the best and people telling you you're the greatest, you're going to assume that and you're going to be more arrogant. And unfortunately, he just was not good at reining it in.
And I can see why that all came crashing down for him because, like, on top of everything that you just said, he also trained a great Padawan who was going to grow into a great Jedi Knight. And then in the end, she's falsely accused of bombing the Jedi Temple and ultimately leaves the Order. Because the Jedi wouldn't defend her and she felt betrayed. Couple that with the fact that like after that the Jedi don't grant him the rank of master.
Yeah, I think knowing that about what happened with Ahsoka and everything, and it does explain, you know, his general lack of distrust towards the Jedi that we see in Episode 3.
Oh yeah, it makes perfect sense. And like I can always like ever since I've watched the Clone Wars, like whenever I think of, you know, Mace Windu saying like we don't grant you the rank of master, like I imagine in his head he's probably like, well, I'd be a fucking master if you didn't drive my Padawan away.
No, I agree. It also kind of makes sense why they wouldn't grant him the rank of master. Because, like, he wasn't wrong up until, I mean, if you take it the Ahsoka debacle away, he had been a pretty exemplary and accomplished Jedi Knight, like it would make sense then to make him a master.
Yeah.
You've already it, but because you refused to back his Padawan for something that she was not responsible for and kick her out of the order, like obviously he's not going to then, you know, trust you or want to be more willing and cognizant to work with you after he's it's become abundantly clear to him that, you know, the Jedi are kind of hypocrites.
Yeah. But at the same time, I also get why they didn't trust the fact that the Chancellor was putting him on the council himself instead of whatever way the Jedi put people on the council
Oh,
themselves.
100%. They had every reason to doubt that. I mean, because it was true.
Yeah, no, it was true.
They were spot on with their suspicions. They just failed to realize that it was because he was a Sith Lord.
It was
They
like,
just missed that detail.
it was the best decision they've made in that era of the Jedi. It was like the one time that like their judgment wasn't clouded by the dark side.
The one good decision they made.
Yeah.
No.
What do you think of his fall to the dark side? Now, I know like you were young when the prequel trilogy came out. Like, did you ever like have time to think about like why Anakin would fall to the dark side before you actually saw the story unfold?
Yes and no. I mean, when I had watched, like, growing up, like, after just watching the original trilogy, I can't even say for certain that the prequels weren't the first Star Wars movies that I had seen. I can't say for certain. So I genuinely have had might have started my my Star Wars consumption as a fan from the prequel movies.
Okay.
So I don't know if I can answer that. But as a kid, I will say that watching it play out in the prequels, it's at least the way I took it as a kid is like obviously I didn't understand all the nuance and everything around it was that Anakin didn't trust the Jedi, didn't really trust anybody, was terrified that Padme was gonna die. So he basically the Palpatine was basically like a con man and sold him like this like magic wish like that you see like in the Disney channels like the Disney movies like oh if you do this like what if
He
you
had
do what I tell you and you help me with this you'll get your reward
it
and
was like
it
magic
be
beans.
he had the magic beans so yeah that's just how my kid mind interpreted it it was Palpatine had the magic beans Anakin wanted them was willing to do whatever he had to do to get them thus Anakin falling to the dark side.
Before I saw Revenge of the Sith, I remember thinking that Anakin's fall to the dark side was going to have something to do with like just wanting more power and like maybe never being satisfied with what he had and always wanting more and more and more. Like
Yeah.
I didn't think it would be like
That it was going to
a misguided sense of love on his part.
I can agree with that.
Which, don't get me wrong,
Now, as I said here. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, don't get me wrong. I prefer the way he does fall to the dark side on film. I think that it allows us to have a good discussion on like attachments and emotional bonds and the difference between like healthy attachment and like toxic attachment. or like healthy relationships
I agree.
And toxic attachment. I don't know if like any kind of attachment is healthy.
I think at the same time, it also shows you like just how to like the extremes that some people will go to do to in their mind protect those that they love, and the rationale they'll make to justify it.
I think that the biggest mistake Anakin made was not stopping to consider what Padme would think about the things that he was doing on his behalf. Because, like, if he could have gotten his head out of his ass for, like, 2 seconds, he would have realized that, like, well, you know what? I can't even say that Padme wouldn't have wanted, like, a room full of Jedi children slaughtered on her behalf, because thank you, George Lucas, she was certainly comfortable with like a village of Tusken Raiders being slaughtered on her behalf. So like, now I can't even say that with like a straight face with absolute certainty now. Thank you, George Lucas. You know what?
He didn't slaughter them on her behalf though.
Well,
he slaughtered them on behalf of his mother. There's a difference.
But no, I'm talking about the younglings at the temple.
Yeah, no, I'm not thinking that she would have been cool with that being done.
Let's forget about the fact that she knows about the Tusken Raiders and just say, yeah, she would not be comfortable with that at all. And if he would like take 2 seconds to think about what he was really doing and who Padme was as a person, he would realize that. So, like, that's where, like, the toxic attachment comes in.
And boy, was he guilty of that. But at the same time, I wonder if it's not surprising that he would develop an unhealthy attachment to people and probably to things as well, because he was a slave. He owned nothing. Look at how long he kept C-3PO around for. Why'd you bring a protocol droid with you to space, to the Jedi Academy? You're going to be a Jedi, and you're bringing your protocol droid that you built. For what purpose? Because he's attached. It's one of the few things that's his.
I think his sense of attachment was probably arguably fine until his mother died. I think that's when things started going off the rails for him. Like, I think before then he certainly cared about people. He didn't want the people he cared about to get hurt. But I don't think it was till his mom died that he probably thought, okay, the people I love can die. I can't save everyone.
I think in part he probably also looked at it as, well, if like, I could have saved her. Like, if I was allowed to go back and free her from slavery, I could have saved her. I could have kept this from happening. I could have taken her away from Tatooine. If I was there, maybe it wouldn't have happened. I think he probably played that out a lot in his mind. And I think with Padme, you see it as, is like, he's, after it happens with his mother, he's going to do absolutely everything in his power to ensure that that's not the outcome that happens with Padme. And we kind of see another example of it with an arc in the Clone Wars when R2-D2 goes missing and is taken. And he is insistent that, you know, he jeopardized the mission and everybody's lives to go find R2-D2 and rescue the droid.
Remember this part of the conversation next week when we talk about Vader and how Vader goes in the complete opposite direction and has no attachments whatsoever.
Yeah, I'm excited for that.
Like, he learned his lesson too late and too far to, like, the other extreme.
Well, Anakin is only about extremes, let's be honest. Everything about his character is extreme.
All of the Skywalker men are. Like, that's the legacy of Anakin right there. Straight through, like, the next two generations.
If you got... you got that Y chromosome, that Y Skywalker chromosome, you're fucked.
All right. I want to end this by talking about, this is totally off topic, but I want to talk about the Rise of Skywalker novelization that I'm almost done with. I'm at the Battle of Exegol now in the book. Man, there are some emotional moments in this novel that, like, there were a couple of times when I was driving and I had to turn it off because it was, like, I was listening to it on audiobook and, like, I had to turn it off because it was getting me too choked up.
Damn, really? That's wild.
So, like, I listen to audiobooks whenever I run. So, like, I was running during the part where Leia dies. And Leia's last thoughts before she died were how she was she's a Skywalker, she's an Organa, and she's a Solo. And she gave Rey her as she died, she gave Rey her Skywalker legacy. She gave Poe her Organa legacy, and she gave Ben her Solo legacy. And I had to stop running. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, how am I supposed to, like, do this right now? Like, totally got me. Ben, as we suspected from the movie, Ben and Rey did feel her death. Rey felt terrible guilt for stabbing Kylo because she knew right away that, like, Leia had just sacrificed her life to draw Ben back into the light side.
Which I think Daisy Ridley did a phenomenal job of showing that on screen. Like, in my opinion, it was abundantly clear what exactly she was feeling and how that was making her feel.
Lando did not take it well that he was too late to say goodbye to Leia. He had gotten there just after she died and didn't get a chance to give her his love, as Rey had told him to do. Oh man, this part gets me. There's a scene before Lando and Chewie take off to go find allies for the Resistance, where Lando is going through, like, the Millennium Falcon, and he's reminiscing about everything, and he's in Chewie's, like, kind of bedroom, which was his cape closet from the Solo movie.
And that's incredible.
Yeah, and he sees kind of like a holodisc, and he wants to give Chewie his privacy, but he wants to see what's on it. So, like, he presses, like, play or whatever is on the holodisc, and it's pictures of Chewie holding Ben as a baby. So, like, Lando realizes that, like, just like Leia never gave up on Ben, Chewie never gave up on him either.
Damn it, Casey, now I'm crying.
If I have to feel these things, so do you.
I've been fighting this the entire time you've been talking about it, because you know how I get about Leia. And then shit, then you gotta go and bring Chewie into it?
Sorry.
Oh.
I just think of,
It's broken.
Do you ever see, like, have you ever seen that meme? You've watched Parks and Rec, right?
Oh, of course.
Okay. Like, have you ever seen the meme of, like, Ron Swanson where he's, like, suing someone and he's just like, and $60 million for emotional distress? Like, that's what I think about, like, every time I get to one of those, like, scenes in the book. Yeah. So that is my thoughts on the Rise of Skywalker novelization. It's an incredible book. And it just,
I can't wait to read it. Yeah. I can't wait.
All right. I think, do we have anything else for this episode?
No, I think that's it.
All right. Everyone, thank you for listening. You can follow me on Twitter @DarthHockey. Krista, where can people find you?
I'm on Twitter as well at Critter, KRI, 3 T's, E, 3 R's.
All right, and you can follow the podcast at Sits Giggles Pod. You can check us out on iTunes, Spreaker.com, and Google Podcasts. Don't forget to go to iTunes and check out Wookiee Radio. And everyone, thank you for listening. Bye.